I read a blog this week by a mother of a four-year-old who went to Vacation Bible School this summer. The woman's mother was Catholic, and her father was Presbyterian, and she and her siblings had been baptized and confirmed in the Catholic Church. They had attended Mass and parish school and attended Protestant Sunday school on Sunday mornings. But she says, aside from praying, God is great, God is good, at dinner time, her family didn't talk much about God at home. So when her son came home this summer from Vacation Bible School with questions like, why did Jesus die for our sins? And why did God build us? She says she was determined to answer him, but she found she didn't know how. She wanted to answer him with answers that she really believed, with answers that didn't feel like she had memorized them or didn't feel fake, or that she didn't in the back of her mind think, well, that's a simple enough answer for you. She says, I wanted him to embrace spirituality, and I want him to feel at home at church, and I want him to really feel God at church. But how? Do you ever have that same desire? You want to embrace spirituality and you want to feel God at church, but you find yourself wondering how? You want to know God. You want to know that God is present, but you really don't know what that would look like. One writer says that in Jesus, all of human life and creation has become a sign of God's presence, filled with ways to grow closer to God if we just look again at what is right in front of us. Every day, all around us, God is present in common things. But the truth is, we have a tendency not to notice. I think maybe we're looking for experiences like Jesus and Elijah had right before the passages that we read this morning. Jesus, right before the passage in the wilderness, is baptized. And at his baptism, he hears God's commendation. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And the heavens open, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. Okay, well, maybe we don't expect to have an experience of God quite like that. Maybe we're hoping for an experience kind of like Elijah has. Just before he flees into the wilderness, Elijah has a showdown with Ahab, the king of Israel, who is a champion evildoer and a worshiper of Baal. And Ahab summons everyone in Israel, particularly the 400 prophets of Baal, to Mount Carmel, and the two of them square off. Who is the true God, the God of Israel? Or Baal. And Elijah says, I'm the only prophet of God left in Israel. And there are 450 prophets of Baal. So let's prepare two oxen to sacrifice. And then you pray to your gods, and I'll pray to God. And the God who answers with fire for his sacrifice will prove to be, in fact, God. And so they agree to it. And the prophets pray all morning long, oh Baal, answer us, oh Baal. And you know what? Nothing happens. And the longer it goes, the more desperate they get. And so they start stomping around and jumping up and down, and there's still not so much as a breeze. This went on, they said, well past noon. They used every religious trick in the book, every strategy they knew to try to make something happen at the altar, but nothing happened. And then Elijah told the people, enough of that. It's my turn. Gather around. And they gathered. And he built up the 12 stones of the altar in honor of God. And he dug a wide trench around the altar. And he laid the firewood there and the oxen on the firewood. And then he said, fill up 4 buckets full of water and pour it, not just in the trench around, but pour it on the oxen, pour it on the firewood. And so they did. And then he said, now do it again. So they did. And then he said, do it a third time. And so four more buckets, that makes 12 buckets of water on the oxen and the firewood. And those of you who went with us last fall to family camp out at Pinecrest and they had put water on the fire, know how hard it's going to be now to create a fire, right? Because we tried. It was hard. Well, the altar was drenched, the trench was full of water, and Elijah came up and he prayed, "Oh God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make known now that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and I'm doing what's under your orders. Answer me, oh God, and reveal to this people that you are God, the true God, and that you are giving these people another chance at repentance." And Scripture says, immediately, the fire of God fell and burned up the offering, the wood, the 12 stones, the dirt, and even the water in the trench. And all the people saw it happen. And they fell on their faces in awe, and they worshiped, exclaiming, "God is the true God. God is the true God." Now that would be a sign, right? We could talk about the time we saw God act, if we'd seen that, right? How God had burned up that offering right in front of us, even though it was drenched. But I think maybe it's even more important for us to study what happens right after those passages. Right after Jesus is baptized. Right after Elijah offers the sacrifice and God burns it up. Because immediately after his baptism, Jesus is driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness where he is tempted. And as soon as Ahab gets home and he tells his wife Jezebel what has happened, she threatens Elijah's life, and Elijah flees to the wilderness where he finds himself laying down on the ground asking to die. When we are looking for that great sign, that experience of God's presence, we need to remember that Elijah and Jesus went from a great moment of experiencing God's power and presence to the wilderness, completely alone, no food, no water, no shelter. And Jesus is tempted to turn those stones into bread. But what does he draw on? Scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:2, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Elijah wants to give up too. And he doesn't even have the strength to draw from Scripture. And so God is present there and provides him bread. Bread that will sustain him. God is present to him in the bread. I think the answer for that mother who wrote the blog that I read, who wants to teach her child about God with thoughtful, honest answers, is to teach him the stories of the Bible. There we'll see that God is present in those high mountaintop moments of our lives, in those moments when we feel and we know how loved we are, in those moments when the good guys win, in those moments when we feel like we're on top of the world. And as long as we learn all of the story, we find out that God is with us in the wilderness too. And in the wilderness places, the word of Scripture will sustain us if we know it. And when we know those stories, we begin to see God all around us in common things, like salt, like light, like water and bread. When we know Scripture, when the words are written on our hearts, we see God all around us. We remember God's word. And when we come to this table, Jesus says, "Remember me, the one who is God's word made flesh." As we eat this bread today, may we remember that God is with us. God is present, giving us strength even in the wilderness places of our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.